In the world that we live in today, we have some serious issues in our culture. We have serious issues all around the world. There is a level of spiritual warfare that's being conducted upon our planet that we have never seen before. And I'm going to talk about this, and this may be scary for some people. When you talk spiritual warfare and you talk to believers, usually you get three responses. Awesome, oh no, and they run away, or people just freeze and don't know what to do. So please don't run away. That's just funny right there. We understand, Maria. So everything that we face in this world, not everything is a spiritual warfare battle. I'm going to clarify that. First off, a lot of people make everything spiritual. There was a time and place where people were casting demons out of chairs and bookshelves, and that's just wrong in a lot of different levels. Not everything is spiritual. Sometimes we just do stupid things. Okay? And but we also have to recognize that there are spiritual forces at work. Right? Several months ago, I think I told this before. Some of you may have heard it. Some of you haven't. Maybe it was a year ago. I don't remember. It was a while ago. Had a young person show up at our house with their significant other, and the significant other calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning and is like, hey, I think my significant other has a serious spiritual issue. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, I rub the sleep out of my eyes, and my wife and I walk out, and the person gets out of the car and starts running down my driveway screaming. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's pitch black, I'm old, and I'm a little overweight, and I'm not running. And the Lord just put in my heart, tell it to stop. And I looked, and I said, stop. And I said, stop in the name of Jesus. And this person fell in the driveway like somebody hit him in the face with a baseball bat. They went down. So I walk over, and this person is basically doing the Ninja Turtle move with her feet on its back, kicking around at me, trying to kick me. And I'm like, what are you doing? And it literally looks at me and goes, fat man, you can't have her. She's mine. And I looked at her. I'm like, oh, no, 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 that ain't happening. And we entered into spiritual warfare. It is real, folks. Spiritual battles, spiritual warfare are real things. There are other times we've been called to go to a house. We walk into the house and I look into a guy and his complete eyes are as black can be, pitch black, and there's no pupil, there's nothing, it's just dark. When we got done, his pupils were back and his eyes were white, because God is a sovereign God, and God is a king, and we need to remember that, who he is. The sovereignty of God that Nick talked about last week is something that we need to remember, and the authority that we have in Christ is something that we need to walk in as believers. Unfortunately, many people don't. There are churches around the world who are succumbing to the worldly things and letting worldly things into the church. If you don't believe in spiritual warfare, then you're far behind the Wiccans, the pagans, the Satanists, because they all believe in spiritual things. They believe in the spiritual darkness that they can invoke. I'll talk about that in a little bit. We serve a God that is the creator of all things. The earth, the wind, the fire, everything. They serve a God that was created by our God. Okay? And should this really surprise us? Because Scripture talks about it, right? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Do you see that in our culture today? I do. I see it a lot. I see people that are all about them. Everything in life is about them. I see people that work for massive amounts of money, time and effort and prestige, and they want to be way up here. When I took my current job with the company that I work for, they were like, do you want to be a project manager? We'll give you more money. And I looked at him and I literally told my boss, I want to be the dumbest field guy you have. I want to be the lowest guy you have. I don't want all that. I just want to go to work. I just want to have a job. I don't want to be the guy that's way up here having to deal with all the craziness and all the crises. But we see people that are arrogant. We see the abuse. Road rage is on an all-time high, right? It's crazy. Disobedient to parents. None of the kids that I know are disobedient to their parents, but that's fine. Ungrateful and unholy people. We see it. We see people now. We see parades where Satanists just had a parade in Boston. They literally walked down the street as Satanists. And it was embraced, and it was allowed. But we have freedom of religion in the United States, so we have to let them have their freedom of religion. But the reality is, it is on an all-time high in America. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We have a culture that everything that was good is now becoming evil, and what was evil is now becoming good. We are in a battle. We're not only in a battle for America, we're in a battle for the church. We're in a battle for lives and souls. All of this boils down to, when we talk spiritual warfare, people freak out. But the reality is, what we're fighting for is the souls of people and for people to be healthy and happy and filled with the Spirit to live godly lives for godly purpose. What is the enemy's plan for all of us? That you never fulfill the destiny or what God created you for, right? God created you for a plan and a purpose, right? That's what Scripture tells us. The enemy tells us, I don't want you to fulfill that purpose. He wants you to be stuck in agony, in torment. He wants you to be stuck being less than. He wants you to be stuck in your past. He wants you to be stuck in the vileness of this world. But that's not what God's plan is. We have a discernment ministry here at this church. And I'm just going to throw a plug. If you are a person that is stuck, and after you hear this sermon, and you want to talk to me, come see me. And there's a reason for that. We are watching God do miracles in what's happening. And it's not just this church. We got people coming from all over, from Albany and Schenectady, Oneonta. I've been all the way out as far as Rochester to do ministry. Folks, it's about what God wants to do, and it is about what God wants to do in your life. Do not let the enemy steal from you what God has planned for you. So I'm going to talk about five spiritual things that we're seeing very frequently. This is not an exhaustive list. And when we start talking about spiritual forces, a lot of times they're like a spider web. They're all interconnected, and you have to, when we're in our discernment and deliverance ministry stuff, we have to kind of figure out where things are, and we use the Holy Spirit, or actually the Holy Spirit uses us more, I should say, to deal with those things. And if you're, like, again, I'm going to just say, if you're a person that doesn't necessarily believe in all this, just listen with an open ear, because I think this is the message for all of us in this time. So, we have a spirit of heaviness in America right now. The spirit of heaviness is, we could see it in a little bit of the guy at the pool of Bethesda. Do you know the story about the guy? Right? He's been stuck there for 30 some odd years and he couldn't get there and he had self-pity. So one of the major things you see with a spirit of heaviness is a lot of self-pity. That person, if they have it, will be stuck in shame. They'll be brokenhearted. They'll feel the oppression. And oppression will come out like depression, anxiety, anger toward themselves, self-loathing. They'll feel rejected. There's a spirit of rejection that can come on a person. They feel the false responsibilities of parents. I actually experienced this myself when I was 12 years old. My parents got divorced. I blamed myself for about 10 years for my parents getting divorced. I never thought I was a good enough kid. And it was a spirit of rejection. And it was wild. With the spirit of heaviness, as a person becomes more and more withdrawn, the spirit of heaviness wants to isolate people. Because when we isolate people, then there's no support. There's no kindness. It's only the things in our head that go around and around and around. And when we've listened to the negativity long enough, you can have the spirit of suicide or suicidal thoughts, self-mutilation, low self-esteem, and self-hatred. This spirit of heaviness is prevalent. It can be tied to poverty. It can be tied to drug addiction. It can be tied to porn addiction or almost any addiction. It can be tied to promiscuity among people, looking for feel something or have somebody feel something, period. The spirit of heaviness, when it is really, really intense, really just isolates a person to feel nothing. Y'all know how the enemy, y'all know how predators hunt, right? Predators always like to isolate. Once the predator isolates in the natural, they kill the prey. That is the goal of the enemy, is to isolate you from the body of Christ. If the enemy can isolate you from the body of Christ, he can take you out. Or if, at a minimum, if he can isolate you from the body of Christ, he can make you impotent in the ministry and the call that God has for you. Does that make sense? So how do we deal with that? One of the scriptures that talks about this is Psalm 119:28. My soul is weary and with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. What does that mean? When you're feeling that deep heaviness, when you're feeling that lowliness, it is the word of God that can strengthen you. You have to read the word of God. Put it as part of your heart and part of who you are, because that spirit can't combat the light that the word of God brings to you. It's a living word. It's a living word. It will bring life to you. In Isaiah 61:3, provided for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or heaviness. I will call out, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for display of his splendor. Another thing you can do if you're feeling that spirit of heaviness is praise. I've been there, folks. I've experienced depression times. I've experienced times where you see nothing but all the garbage that's in front of you. It is reading God's word and is getting on my face and praising God even when you don't feel like it. You got to praise the Lord. If there's anybody online, if you're suffering, or anybody in here that's suffering, praise God. Praising him, get in the word, and just let your praises to the King. Be thankful for the things you do have. Be thankful for what where you are. Thankful that you're alive. Thankful that he created you. But the enemy, when you're dealing with that spirit of heaviness, wants to twist that. Wants you to be cursing God. Wants you to be hating God. Wants you to be bitter at God. Wants you to distrust God. You have to rebuke that. And you have to give him praises for everything in your life. The next one is a spirit of divination. We right now have about a 31% increase in Wiccans in America alone in the last 10 years. We have about 1.4 million Wiccans right now in America that they know of. I know there are now Wiccan schools in the Adirondacks. There are at least three Wiccan covenants in Schoharie County alone. I know that there's a lot of things that are going on right now. In Cherry Valley has a Wiccan store. You can go buy crystals and things like that, potions, things to cast spells. There are, if you're not thinking the enemy is not coming to bring destruction, these people literally go and they believe that they can cast spells, that they can do whatever they want to do, invoke love potions or invoke curses. We deal a lot with curses, generational curses, and just local curses for people. One of our recent cases, we just had, can somebody give me some water? Thank you. We had somebody whose grandmother was a witch, who was a high-level Wiccan witch. And when we started praying against that, and we told it to leave and renounced it, she was set free. And you watched her whole body, like this doesn't like me talking about it either, huh? It'll be all right. But yeah, when we started talking about that, we watched this woman's, everything about her continence change when she got delivered from it. And it was amazing. You are a blessing. Thank you, young lady. That's okay. It's wet. That's what I get for bass fishing for 8 hours yesterday. So the spirit of divination can come not only in Wiccans and Druids and Shamans and Odinists. I mean, that's a new thing now where people are worshiping the Norse gods, Odin and all those, or Satanists or witchcraft or voodoo. But it can also come with people that want to do spiritual guides. I'll just keep it open. It'd be fine. Spiritual guides, necromancy. We have a big thing now where people want to talk to the dead. I don't want to talk to the dead. They're dead. What do they got to tell me? I don't know. Ouija boards, numerology, Reiki. There's a big thing now where there's Reiki places where you can go, Reiki. You can go and have somebody realign your spiritual force. Don't you touch my spiritual force. All right? I mean, you don't know that person, and you're going to have that person realign all your spiritual forces to get you in alignment so that you flow. I'd rather trust on the Holy Spirit. Right? Wow. Calling on spirits, crystals. There's a big crystal thing now where everybody's using crystals. It's crazy. Fascinations with evil can come about. Ghosts, demons. How many ghost and demon TV shows are there now? You have your ghost hunter shows, and then you've got like shows like Supernatural and the show Evil and that embrace that. Yeah, I might need one. Ah. Thank you. Do you realize how much of a test of faith this is right now? They're not that bad. I've eaten worse. The America used to be about 75 to 80% Christian. Based on the last Gallup poll, we're at 68%. And that reason, part of that is because people are finding the spirituality aspect of it, the supernatural aspect that people are looking for in other religions. Folks, you live a supernatural life. The Holy Spirit came and dwells within you when you got it saved. Right? There should be signs and wonders and powers and all that stuff going on in your life. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Folks, we're there. People are following demonic things. They do not want to necessarily acknowledge or experience the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit. One of the cases we just recently had, the woman came to us because her pastor, they don't do it. They don't do deliverance. They don't pray for people. And she said in 20 years, she was the first person that had asked for the senior pastor to pray and anoint them with oil, but they don't anoint with oil. Anoint with oil, right? And lay hands on. That is something that we are called to do as elders and as pastors. It's in the Bible. If there are sick, you anoint with oil, then you pray for them. Witches must have been really mad. Leviticus 19:31 says, "Do not turn to mediums or to seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." When people are seeking tarot cards, or you're seeking mediums, or you're seeking whatever people are seeking, crystals, throwing bones, whatever it is, you will be defiled by those spiritual things. The things that are giving you that information are not the Holy Spirit. They're not holy. They are dark. They're evil. And they have a purpose, which is to deceive you. There are times when we've met people and they look at you and you're like, they stand back. I got a friend of mine that's a pastor. He walked into an insane asylum to go meet one of his people. They were in a psychiatric center. And they walked in, and this guy walks by him and looks him square in the eye and goes, "Preacher," and walked away. And it was one of the patients. That person was full in the divination, and that's where he got. That's what got him there. Okay? The next spiritual thing we find is a deaf, dumb spirit. And this is more prevalent than I like to admit. A deaf, dumb spirit does not allow people to hear the word of God, speak the word of God, see the word of God. They can't read it, they can't hear it, they can't do anything with it. It can also cause physical deafness or blindness. Wow. They're not that good. I'm still coughing. Oh, wow. It can also cause mental illness. suicidal thoughts, paranoia, self-mutilation and cutting, out of control lustful experiences. The deaf, dumb spirit in America today looks at the church and says the church is obsolete. Says the church is no good. Says the church has no value. People can't see the church. And I've got one, thanks. Mark 9, 25 and 26. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsing him, and came out. When you have spiritual things attacking you, they can do physical things to you. There was other times where that kids were thrown, they throw themselves into a fire. They would scream. This person was deaf and mute. Other people had a spirit of infirmity. They couldn't walk. We'll talk about that. There are spiritual things that are out there that can cause physical pain or physical harm. Again, not everything is spiritual, but we have to recognize as the body of Christ that some things may be spiritual. Does that make sense? Is anybody freaking out yet? All right, just checking. The next spiritual thing we see is the spirit of error. The spirit of error takes the word of God and twists it. Okay? It'll bring false prophecies. It will bring false religions. There is a religion out there called Faith of the Spaghetti Monster or something like that. It's an actual church that believes there's a spaghetti monster who leads them. That's exactly what I said. It will bring false doctrine. If you are a fundamental believer in the Word of God, if you are a person that believes the Word of God to be true, there are people out there that will try to tell you what you believe is obsolete and old, and you are wrong. That is not what Jesus was taught. There are faiths out there that will tell you that Jesus was not the deity, he was just a good teacher. There'll be other ones out there will tell you that you have to do everything by your good works, and that's how you get to heaven. That's a lie. There are false doctrines that tell you that if you just, it's the prosperity gospel, that if you just donate X number of dollars, then you will receive benefit back. So you have to give so God can give to you. It's all God's. Why do I have to do that? Anyways, we have the New Age movement, which takes Christianity and it mixes it with Wiccan pagan ideas, and you use crystals and things like that to invoke them. Okay? And then my favorite is the name it and claim it gospel that's out there right now. Who's got the nicest car here? It's mine now, just so you know, because I named it and claimed it. I'm just teasing. But no, there are people like healing is not always something that God does right away. And there'll be people like, I'm healed, and your leg is still broke. And they're like, I don't know, God doesn't love me. No, he does love you. God is a God of grace and mercy. And sometimes we have to go through things, and it sucks, but we do. Spirit of error can bring mental confusion to people. You ever meet people that are mentally confused? All the time. It can bring a mental dullness or a spiritual dullness. It can bring depression and suicide. The other side of this is you can be hyper-spiritual. Everything is spiritual. We're casting demons out of chairs. And praise God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. You ever meet those people? Like every third word is praise God, hallelujah. And it brings hypocrisy. We want to be careful. In this church, with Pastor Ray and I everything that we do, we try to do it in honor of God within the established doctrines of Christianity. Okay? We don't just willy-nilly go throw things out and just say, oh, we're just going to do this. We try to maintain the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of God here, and do what God has commanded the church to do. It's important to do that. We do not want false doctrine to come into a church. You never want false doctrine to come into church. I'm gonna trust me, when it does, and I've dealt with a couple pastors that have had to deal with it, it will bring devastation to the church if you let it blossom. So Pastor Ray is usually pretty good about, what did you mean by that? And we have those conversations. So 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. So when you know doctrine, right, that discipleship class, you'd learn doctrine. When you know doctrine and people come to you and are like, no. The Word of God says this. The doctrine is this. It prepares you and it helps you to deal with, first of all, your own personal faith, but also it'll help you maybe minister to other people that have been mistaught. All right? Does that make sense? 15 more pages to go. I'm only teasing. Only three. Doesn't. No. Obviously, I couldn't count very well because we have six things, not five. But hey, whatever. The next one is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is rampant in America. Let's not get political, and if you're on the right, you believe that the other choice is going to destroy America. If you're on the left, you believe the other choice is going to destroy America. If you're in the middle, you believe both choices are going to destroy America. Oh my God, America's going to get destroyed. I don't think so. Why? Because God called this nation, and God's going to fix it for us. And revival's coming, and I think that's going to be part of the fix. But people are just afraid, right? They're afraid of everything. Don't touch that. You're going to get sick. Don't. You know, we're all cautious, and we have to be, but don't let fear rule your life. I used to be a person that was a little bit afraid. I'm not as afraid as I used to be. Actually, I'm not afraid at all. But fear can do many things. It can torment us emotionally, right? If you're afraid of everything, you develop a critical spirit. And why you develop a critical spirit is because if you're critical of everything around you, then you don't have to be afraid of it because you can just destroy it. Because criticism can harm everything and everyone around you. Spirit of fear will bring worry. Anybody here worriers? You worry about everything. And then they bring anxiety because you're afraid of everything. Now, again, there's a certain level of anxiety and worry that we have as people. We're people we care about. We can be concerned. But I'm talking a really deep, can't get out of it anxiety or fear. It could also be like panic attacks. It could be you'd be afraid of death or life or being crippled to a point where it almost is disabling for you as an individual. Do not let fear do that to you, right? About 31% of Americans deal with some form of anxiety. Think about that. One-third of you have some form of anxiety that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, every day. There's nothing wrong with having concern. There's nothing wrong with being worried. But if it is ruining your life and controlling your life, it could be a spiritual thing that could be rooted from way back when you were a kid to other generational things. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. If you're afraid, you have power over that fear. I tell people all the time, when we're dealing with youth and other people and we talk about traumatic events, you're missing a body part, I can run in and help you. If you're vomiting, I can't. It's just what happens. I can't do that. But if there was something going on, I run in. I don't run away. That's just who I am. I don't live in fear of the world. I don't live in fear of what's going to happen. I don't live in fear of all the chaos that our government and all of that is going on. I don't live in fear of the chaos and the wars and all that. What I focus on are the things of God and what God has for us here. The next one is a haughty spirit or a prideful spirit. I just walk into everything today. We have a whole month dedicated to pride. Pride is a dangerous thing, but it's also a good thing. We need to be proud of who we are. We need to be proud of what God's doing in our life. We need to be proud of our family. We need to be proud of accomplishments that we've done. Nothing wrong with those. When pride places you above other people, that arrogance, that pride, that self-righteous attitude, that's not good. That's a prideful spirit. You know, those people that got to micromanage everything that you do because they're afraid everybody's going to make mistakes, or people that are manipulators. See, a haughty spirit or a prideful spirit rejects the things of God and places their own things before it. We have a culture that has placed themselves before the things of God. Their opinions, their thoughts, even when it goes against science, even when it goes against God's word, even when it goes against social norms. They have placed themselves at a place higher than all the knowledge and all the experience. It brings rebellion, really. And rebellion causes us some serious trouble, right? Anybody here ever been rebellious? All right, everybody else can raise their hand now. We're all rebellious to a certain point, right? We all have a rebellion. I'm very rebellious. Sorry, Pastor Ray. So, I am. I'm very rebellious. I can be challenging at times, and God has reined that in. Because I rebel against the things that are false in the world, not the things of God. Line up with the things of God, and I'll rebel against all the other garbage that's out there. The last thing a haughty spirit will do is bring false humility. Have you ever seen people that are false, with false humility? Oh, I'm just so thankful for everything that just happened. It's amazing. Oh, God's just so good to me. It's like, but you just lost your whole family. It's okay. Yeah. Anyways, people that have a haughty spirit live in false humility, and it's just not where we need to be. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Become prideful. You will fall on your face. I promise you. Become disrespectfully prideful. Spirit of infirmity is our next one. Sorry, we're doing 6 today, not 5. Somehow I didn't learn how to count. So, spirit of infirmity is something that we're seeing more and more. How many weird diseases have we seen pop out of nowhere? There's no medical answer for them. There's too many. I mean, there are diseases and things that are coming now that people just can't, the medical profession can't explain. Sometimes there's mental illness that can come out of a spirit of infirmity. Addictions can come out of a spirit of infirmity. Depression, cancers, bitterness, lingering diseases, hormone imbalance. The enemy can impact our bodies. It's what it is, whether we like that or not. And now, he is who he is, and we are who we are, and we serve who we serve, and who we serve is greater than who is in the world, right? We need not to be worried so much, and sometimes we just need to pray. One of the things that we prayed for in a recent case was for spiritual clarity, because the woman was literally feeling so much anxiety, and it was just messing with her body and her mind. And we prayed against certain things, and again, she was just set free. And she has the clarity, and her body went back to normal. Her chemical work went back to normal. So we're thankful for that, because God does miracles. Calling a friend? Great. Luke 13, 10 through 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She'd bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. When I was 10 years old, I got hit by a car. It does. I went in front of the car, over the hood, over the roof, off the trunk, landed on my head, compound skull fracture, ruptured disc in my back. It is what it is. The upside was 2 weeks later, I was doing wheelchair races, and I freaked the nurses out. But anyways, we were in the old building. I was a new believer. And the woman said, was there, and we were just in a prayer service, and she said, "There's somebody here who's had a back injury since they were a child, and my back was killing me all the time, do any labor at all with the ruptured disc. It just killed me." I said, I was like 10 and got hit by a car, to myself. Nobody said anything. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "You know, just put your hand in the middle of your back." I put my hand in the middle of my back, and my back went, it literally zipped up, everything went into order. My back came on fire, and my back's been healed ever since. Something I did caused physical damage to my body, but yet God has enough grace and mercy to heal us. God can heal us when it's his time and when it's for his purpose, and we have to accept that. So these battles that we're facing right now in our culture can only be fought by believers who are willing to take it on. And part of that is 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith." You all, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, use your faith. Do not let the enemy have room in your life. I know there are times we've prayed. I know, Brother Pete, we've prayed for you, and we're trusting, and we're believing, and so are you. And things we don't understand, and why things are what they are. But we have to continue to resist. We have to continue to push forward in Christ. We all know Ephesians 6, where he talks about putting on the full armor of God, right? Don't take it off, leave it on. Because the end of that is the sword of the Spirit is our weapon. You need to have salvation as part of your weaponry. You need to have your, you need to read the Word of God to do battle. Because in that, when battles come, when things come, the Word of God will be what will resonate with you. Okay? Anybody here ever do training for a job? Why do we do training? So that we remember what to do when things happen. And that's read the Word of God. It's your training manual. Discipleship class, it's a training manual. Discernment ministry, training manuals. We have different things that we do. James 4, 7 through 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Who has to make the first step when you're dealing with anything spiritual warfare-wise? You do. You need to submit to the Lord. You need to come to him. And he will come to you. When you submit to him, the enemy will flee. When you draw near to him, he draws near to you. The closer that God is to you, the farther the enemy is away. Remember that. So there's some basic things. Prayer is absolutely essential. You need to pray. If you're not a praying person and you're experiencing oppression, depression, anxiety, fear, whatever it is, anything that I mentioned or anything I didn't mention, prayer is the answer. Because prayer to God is always heard. It may not always be answered right away, but it's always heard. Second, we need to walk through the scripture and we need to walk in reverence for God. Okay? Who is God in your life? And who are you in Christ? When I ask people that sometimes when they come in for the deliverance session, I ask them, like, who are you? They can't even tell me who they are. I'm like, who are you in Christ? They can't even answer that question. Who are you in Christ? As you are the son or the daughter of the Most High. You have value and importance. He created you for a time such as this. You are not less than. You are who God made you to be. You are unique. You are male or you're female. You are special for a purpose. What is your purpose? That's what you have to ask him. And that's what you have to seek. Because that is far more important than just living life. Whatever the purpose is. The third thing is we don't have to accept evil as okay. We live in a culture today that tells us that we need to accept everything and everyone. No, I don't. I don't have to agree with you. And just because I don't agree with somebody doesn't mean I don't love them. We live in a world today where if you disagree, you hate. That's not true. I can disagree with you all day. I can love you all day. It doesn't mean anything. We've lost that ability in our culture to have a conversation that is filled with truth, that is filled with love, and at the end of the day, we all have a sandwich and go on our merry way. We've lost that. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments and even and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You have the ability through Christ to take captive your thoughts when they come. If you're dealing with spiritual warfare, there are times that we'll be in a deliverance session or we'll be doing something, and the craziest thought will come into my head, and I'm like, oh, that's not God. I'll be driving on the road. There's a section of road on I-88. When I'm driving down the road, it'll go, you need to kill yourself. I'm like, what? That's not my thought. So we need to take those thoughts captive, and we don't have to accept them. Don't accept them. Don't feel guilty or obligated to accept them. You don't have to. And the fourth thing is we need to love people where they are at. The church has failed the people by not loving them where they're at. Again, we can disagree with people fundamentally, but I can still love people where they're at. Or do they make us angry? Yep, probably. We could pray for deliverance on that too. Standing firm in the Lord is a battle. Do you know why LGBTQ people will never hear the truth about Jesus? Although there are some that are coming. Because the American church, when they walk into our church, they feel judged and angered and pushed away. They never even get a chance to be told the truth because we fail at that sometimes. I pray that that's not in this church, but I know churches that have done that. And that's wrong. Who's seen that movie, Jesus Revolution? If you haven't seen that movie, I just watched it recently. I love there's a scene in there where the hippies are all coming in. They're sitting on the floor. They all smell bad. And the elders who were in suit and ties were like, oh, we can't have this. This isn't for them. No, this is exactly for them. If there are people, if you're watching online and you're not a believer, are there people, tell people in our culture, tell people in our community, come here. You don't believe, I will entertain those discussions with people anytime. I know Pastor Ray will as well. Those are the people we want. The ones that are lost, the ones that are broken, the ones, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you, well, don't act like a ding-dong, but I don't care what you act like. But, you know, We so often judge people rather than love people. And we can't be judging people. We need to be loving people. I put some other scriptures up here. Just for spiritual warfare, folks. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children. You have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Every day of the week. You got fear, you got doubt, you got worry. You need to remember, he is greater in you. Your greatness is based on the creator of all things. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a wrong. Oh, I already read that one earlier. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment will be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of God, of the Lord, and their vindication is for me, declares the Lord. But thanks be to 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That's a simple scripture, folks. If you're thinking the enemy is coming and you feel that, there's a great scripture. He's going to protect you. Everything around you may not feel like you're going to be protected. The enemy is a deceiver, and he can put all of it there. But he will protect you. Luke 10:19, Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. What did the Lord give us? Power. When the American church begins to operate in the giftings and the power of the Holy Spirit that have been predestined by God for the body, we will see this nation turn. Until that happens, it's not going to happen. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God has overcome the world, no? Yes? Yes, he has. He's overcome your pain, your suffering, your loss, anything that you're facing, God has overcome. And it's really funny. Emily had a scripture today. You want to come up and read that? Had a scripture today as we were doing worship. And it ties really into this. And it's a reminder of who God is.
This is from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, and it's out of the Amplified Classic. And therefore, the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, longing to be gracious to you. And therefore, he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. And the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. And just thinking of that even with these things of the enemy that was shared, yet we serve a God who waits for us so he can be gracious to us. He waits for us to be gracious to us. He says, come to me, let me bless you. Come to me, let me strengthen you. This oppression, these things that you might sense in your world or in the world around you, and just like Pastor Mark was sharing at the end, he has overcome. He has overcome the world, and he lives in you. In John chapter 15, he says, he gives a promise, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. The Jesus we were singing about, with the hair like wool and the eyes like fire, whose voice is like mighty waters. If you remain in him, the victorious one, that victory will remain in you. So be encouraged today, church, that as you go out, you don't go out defeated. As you go out, you don't go out overwhelmed. As you go out, you don't go out overcome by the things of this world or by the enemy of this world. You go out with the Spirit of God within you, with the living water flowing from within you, out of your mouth, out of your hands, within your mind. And praise the Lord.